Emmanuel Baptist Church, Emmanuel family, thank you for being here today. As you can tell, this is a very special Sunday. We are going to be observing baptism, and we have the choir leading us in worship from South Carolina. I do want to talk about today is a celebration. We're not going to be viewing just a symbol. We're going to see a reenactment. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, the historic reality that Jesus Christ physically was hung on a cross and died, shedding his blood, his body broken for your sins and mine to be forgiven. We celebrated the fact that the physical Jesus died and his physical body was put in a grave. But that's not the rest of the story, right? We celebrated on Easter morning. The physical Jesus rose from the grave. And he is our conquering Savior. Easter isn't just something that happened to Jesus. It's something that is happening in us. Baptism is the visual shorthand of the gospel. It's the bridge between the doctrine that we teach and the life that we live. So I have just a couple of points, short points. There we go. That's the title. Buried in death, raised to life. Just a couple of thoughts. Taking us from Ephesians 4 to 5. We'll unpack 5 here in a little bit. But the first thought, the burial of the old person. This is from Ephesians 4:21. 22, Paul uses the language of the wardrobe change. He says, strip off or put off your old self. In the Greek, that means to literally strip away or discard like filthy rags. When the candidates, who will come out in a minute, go under the water today, they are modeling the burial of that old self. We are saying that the person we used to be, the one defined by shame and deceitful desires and by walking away from God, is dead. We don't reform the old man, we bury it. We don't improve our old life, we leave it at the bottom of the grave. So if the water represents a grave, coming out of the water represents resurrection that we celebrate. Paul says it in Ephesians 4:24, to put on the new self created to be like God. This is where Easter becomes personal. The same power that rolled away the stone outside Jerusalem is the same power that raises us up out of the water so that we can walk in newness of life. Notice the phrasing, created to be like God. This links us back to what I wrote in the Weekly Word 5:1. We'll unpack it later. Be imitators of God. You can only imitate the Father if you've been given the Spirit of the Son. Baptism marks the moment that we publicly declare, I am a new creation. So when they come up out of that water, they are celebrating resurrection. Third thought. Walking in love, living a life of love. And this is Ephesians 5:1 that we begin today. Baptism is an event, but the new person that we become is a lifestyle. Coming up out of the water is the start of this walk that Paul describes in Ephesians 5. He says in the ESV, walk in love. The NLT translates it, live a life filled with love following Jesus' example. Every time you choose forgiveness over bitterness or truth over lying, you are living out your baptism. You are reminding the world that that old self is still dead and the new person, the Christ-centered man or woman, is the one who is now seated with Christ. You have been raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4 reads, For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. We may live a new life. So, to those who are being baptized today, you are telling the world that you have a new boss. You have a new identity and a new power. You are saying, I'm with him. Emmanuel family, as we watch them, let's remember our own wardrobe change. Let's commit again to putting off the rags of the old life and walking in the brilliant resurrected love of the new person. As they are immersed, remember your own old self. It's buried, left in the grave. As they rise, celebrate that we have a risen Savior who gives us the power to walk in a brand new way. Let's pause and thank him for that. Father, we thank you for the waters of baptism. We thank you that we don't have to stay stuck in our old selves. As we witness these baptisms today, renew our own hearts to put off the old self and to put on the new. Help us today to walk in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, mini message two. Let's see how this goes. This one is titled The Imitation of Christ, taken from the verse we just read. Kids naturally imitate their parents, right? A little boy standing next to his dad shaving, or a mom with a daughter in her play kitchen pretending to cook. Neither the boy nor the girl got a manual on how to do that, right? They learned it by spending time with those who were influencing them. Paul uses this exact imagery. He says, we don't obey God like a subject obeys a king, though he is a king. He says, be imitators of God as beloved children. And my prayer for you is that you see yourself like these three precious sisters. See themselves as children of God. The foundation of our behavior isn't duty, it's identity. So it's a mini sermon, just three very quick thoughts. The goal, walk in love. Paul defines the Christian life as a walk. This isn't a sprint. It's more like the marathon that's happening today, even though really it's a lifelong journey, right? You never stop growing. At least I don't, because I've got a lot of growing still to do. But the standard is we aren't called to walk in niceness or tolerance, but in agape love. This is God's perfect love. Love that only God himself can give. We don't create it. We can't create it. We receive it and as vessels allow his love to flow through us. That's really the only way we can experience true love. So the distinction here is that love is proactive. It doesn't wait for the other person to deserve it, right? While you were a sinner, Christ died for you. 2,000 years ago, he knew you and he loved you enough to go and search for that one lost sheep. And you saw the testimonies, heard them this morning. Three lost sheep were found by Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful testimonies. It's a choice of the will to seek the highest good for the other. That's the distinction. Operating, acting, and walking out of love. The method is presence over effort. How do you imitate an invisible God? The mirror If you saw my weekly word, I had AI develop an image of a person looking in a mirror, and the image reflected back was Jesus. We look at Jesus as the example. I referenced in the weekly word Colossians 1:15 that reads, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. If you want to know how God handles a critic, how he treats the broken, or how he rests, look to Christ. Jesus is our example. And the company rule is you become like the people you spend the most time with. You cannot imitate somebody you don't know. To walk in love, we must first keep company with the source of that love. Spending time with God, in prayer, in his word, with each other. Spending time listening to Jesus and learning to hear his voice through the word, but also ask him to reveal himself to you. We don't struggle to love because we lack willpower. We struggle because, more often than not, we're running on an empty tank. So pray for more love. Oops, that's what BK did last week. If you hit this one really hard, it skips them. The third one is the fragrant offering. This is our model. Paul ends verse 2 with a powerful image. Christ gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. In the Old Testament, the smoke of the sacrifice was said to be a pleasing aroma to God. When you choose to forgive, when you choose to serve even though you're tired, when you choose to give even though it costs, it sends up a beautiful, fragrant offering to the Lord. And I think every week on our Wednesday night prayer meeting, I usually say something to the effect of, Lord, take all of our prayers as an offering that is fragrant to you. It pleases the Father because he sees his Son's character being repeated, represented in us. We truly become a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God, from Romans 12:1. So, short message, conclusion, a call to action. Living Jesus' life is impossible. You can't do it. Neither can I. But letting Jesus live his life through us is the promise of the gospel. Right? You can't create love. Don't even try. If you do, it'll be something that doesn't, it might look close, but it's not going to be the real thing. We've got to surrender and submit and allow him to work through us. Letting Jesus live his life through us is the promise that we have in the Word of God. So this week's challenge, pick one relationship, just one, where you have been walking in frustration or maybe walking in indifference. This week, consciously choose to walk in love toward that person. Not because they've changed, but because you're a beloved child who is learning to imitate God. Right? Can you do that this week? Let's pray. Father, thank you for adopting us. Help us to stop trying to act holy and instead start living as your beloved children, receiving your holiness, your mercy, and your love. Lord, may we be so full of you, full of your love, that it just spills over, that we would have abundant joy, that the world around us would see us and know that you are our boss. You are our king. You are our loving father and our friend, our savior, our redeemer. Thank you for the powerful testimony this morning of these three precious children. May our lives be a fragrant offering to you this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.